Today's daf in tomorrow. I believe it's daf Chav Zayin. So we're back on Chav Hey, and we are right at the top of Chav Hey Amud Beis. And we are going over once again the position of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says that Ubar is Lavi Archimo. It is not an extension of its mother. Rabbi Yochanan says that simply because Rabbi Yochanan says that if you're mafish chatas meuberis, if you set aside a chatas which is pregnant. So Rabbi Yochanan's statement is that you have now a choice. If you want, you could be mechaper with the mother. If you want, you could be mechaper with the vlad. Now, how does that work? Meaning, how could you simply take the vlad and use it now as your carbon chatas? So the Gemara's conclusion is, and the only well, not the only one, but we'll see. Maybe the Gemara's going to make another suggestion later on this morning. But basically, the accepted understanding of Rabbi Yochanan is because the vlad is really an independent entity. And by you designating this pregnant cow as your, or goat as your carbon chatas, you're basically saying, look, either this one or that one. And as we discussed back in the fourth parak of Temura, this is what's called achrayus. You can set aside two animals. One is just basically a built-in insurance policy, and you can now choose whichever one you want to use. That is the statement of Rav Yochanan. That's the halacha of Rav Yochanan. The Gemara challenged Rav Yochanan based on the following. Very interesting point of departure in terms of seems like Rav Yochanan's wrong. Why? Based on the following scenario. You have a shivcha, right? She's a maidservant, a shivcha kananis, and what you would like to do is you would like to be meshachrer her fetus. So she's pregnant and you'd like to be meshachrer her fetus. So how is that going to work? So the Braisa tells us on the bottom of Chav Hey Amud Aleph, I want to retain you as my shivcha, but I want your vlad to be a ben chorin. Right? I want it to be free. So imaisa ubra zach solo. So good. So if she's pregnant, she could be zocha on behalf of her ubar. Okay, that was the statement made in a braisa. To which the Gemara said, "How does that work? Meaning you're handing her a get shichur. So every single time you hand it to her." So basically, it's coming right back at you because she's your shivcha. She's your shivcha kananis. Masha kana evi kana rabo, masha kana shivcha kana rabo. So every time you hand it to her, it comes right back to you. So the Gemara presumes that the only way it's going to work is where the ubar is considered not a separate entity from her, but rather part and parcel of her. In other words, the ubar is yerechimo. And what you're doing now is when you're handing it to her, you're actually handing it to the part of her which you want to free. Now, it's interesting because when she accepts it with her hand, it's not the hand that's being freed right now. Meaning, how does shichur work in general? We talked about this yesterday. It's gita v'yada b'am ke'echad. The idea is that when you hand her the get and you put it in her hand, both her ability to acquire and her release are happening simultaneously. This is gita v'yada. So, fine. And we also pointed out that this would work not just if you free all of her, but if you free half of her as well. So in other words, the part that you're freeing is the part now that has the ability to acquire the get that's being handed to her. Here you're freeing her ubar, which is fascinating. In other words, it's a limb that you don't even see. But still, you are releasing a part of her, and the Gemara's assumption is gita v'yada b'am ke'echad. However, if the ubar was a separate entity of the mother, so that means now that she's acquiring it on behalf of the ubar, but she can't because she's your shivcha, and so the Gemara says it seems from all this that this would be difficult for Rav Yochanan Tiyufta to Rav Yochanan Tiyufta. Okay, and this is where we left off yesterday, and we continue in the Gemara. We're now on Chav Hey Amud Beis, and we're starting with the words lema. It does seem at this juncture of the Gemara ends up rejecting Rav Yochanan, especially if you read the Gemara Tiyufta to Rav Yochanan Tiyufta, as I mentioned yesterday. The Gemara will press along today as if Rav Yochanan has not been refuted. It could be that this subject to a machlokus tanayim. Anyway, we'll come back. We'll discuss more about Rav Yochanan in just a little bit. Lema imshar mishuya tanayhi. So the Gemara says perhaps this very issue is a machlokus tanayim. The Gemara says, let's look at the following braisa. Hom l'shiv chasar hayrad bar chorin uvladcha evan. A person says to a shivcha, you're going to go free. I'll give you a get shechur, but your vlad is going to be retained as an eved. So Vlad de Kamawa, so her Vlad is going to be like her, Divrei Rav Yosei Haglili. Okay. The machlokes between Rav Yosi and the Chachamim, Rav Yosi says that the Vlad will be like her, and Rav Yosi says, no, I'm sorry, and the Chachamim say, no, her words are correct. I'm sorry, his words are correct. And then the Gemara quotes a pasuk, and the pasuk says, Ha'ish v'yaldeh tiyala adoneha. Now, don't get confused by this pasuk. This pasuk is the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim. What's this pasuk talking about? Eved Ivri. Now, let me just give a little bit of background to this pasuk over here, and then we'll see how this pasuk fits into our discussion. Okay, Eved Ivri is a Jewish slave, right? The word slave is not really the right way to describe it. It's indentured servitude, meaning he's your employee with, you know, no chance of getting a promotion. Okay, at least for 6 years. Could be more long term if he so chooses. Now, Eved Ivri has a very interesting halacha, which is unique to Eved Ivri, and that is the following: you're Eved Ivri. Now he's a Jew. He is a Jew in all respects. He's mechuyev in all the halachos, but an Eved Ivri can marry a shivcha kananis. Meaning, if you have an Eved Ivri and you have a shivcha kananis, so you can put the two of them together. Okay. They could produce children, and those children are going to be her children, not his children. So that if and when he leaves, he now will say goodbye his wife to his children, and that's the pasuk of Ha'isha v'yaladeha tiyela adoneha. Right? That her and her children will be retained by the master, and will not go with the Eved Ivri, even though the Eved Ivri is the father of the child. Okay. Are there going to be social issues? Are there going to be issues in terms of that child growing up? Perhaps, but right now, just dealing with the halacha, that is the case. Now, what do you see from that pasuk? What you see from that pasuk is that when a shivcha has a child, that child is basically part and parcel of the shivcha, meaning the child is whatever the mother is. Now, who does that sound like? Meaning, of the two positions that we just quoted, Rav Yosi Haglili and the Chachamim. Who does that pasuk seem to be supporting? It seems to be supporting Rav Yosi Haglili. The difficulty in the Braisa, as the Braisa presents itself to us, is the Braisa doesn't sound like that. Meaning, let's go over that Braisa again. Hare ad barchon vladcha eved, vlada kamoha. Her vlad is like her. Divrei Rav Yosi Haglili. And then, chachamim omer dvarav kayamim. And the chachamim say, no, you could split the two. You could say the mother is one status and the child is another status. Okay. Now the whole reason why we brought this in over here is just simply to demonstrate whether or not the fetus is a dependent or an independent entity of the mother. But meanwhile, however, just before we even get to that point of the discussion, just understanding, this pasuk is supporting who? Rav Yosi Haglili or the Chachamim? So the Gemara right away jumps on in Maitamuda L'Rabbanan. So my Talmud l'Rabbanan. How is this pasuk supporting the Chachamim? Amarava k'ral Rav Yosi Haglili diktani vlada kamo shenema isha v'yalada tiya ladoneha b'zman she isha ladoneha vlada ladoneha. So the Gemara just quickly corrects, and the Gemara says, you're right. The pasuk is not there for the Chachamim. The pasuk is there for Rav Yosi Haglili. Fine. Okay. So, and it's okay. A little bit cut up in terms of how the Braisa presents itself, but fine. In the meantime, however, my la b'hai kamiflagi. The Gemara says, look, what's going on over here? What's this machlokas? I'm freeing the mother, but the child I would like to keep for myself. Ostensibly, this machlokas is exactly what we've been discussing. The Rebbe Yossi sever shayar in a meshuyar? According to Rebbe Yossi, no. The child is a dependent part of the mother. Whatever mom status is, that's what the fetus is going to be. And you cannot segregate the two. And the Chachamim would say, no, it's Mishuyar. That the two of them can be divided. I could free the mother while still retain rights and ownership of that fetus. That's the position of the Chachamim. That goes right along the lines of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan would say like this, no. Look, why don't we say that both positions are like me? Right? Which, of course, is what Rav Yochanan would like, because he would not like his statement to be a machlokas tanaim. And it could very well be that in this particular scenario, you can't segregate the two. Why not? Because of the pasuk. The pasuk says the isha v'yaladetiyala doneha. Okay, and so therefore this case would be different. Why this case would be different? You have to come up with some svara. Right. Rashi just simply says it's gzeiras hakasuf, meaning by shivcha that it just is. It is that the child and the mother and its fetus are going to be of the same status. All right. And why doesn't the service of binyanav? Okay. Fine. Let's go on. Elavada lema kihani tanai detanya. Okay. So the Gemara says let's do it this way. Fine. Leave out that's the discussion of a shivcha and her child. How about we go to the following brisa? Shochet is a chatos umatzah ba ben dalid chai. Yishech a carbon chatos. Carbon chatos is going to be either a goat or a sheep. And what emerges is that it was pregnant and there was a 4-month-old baby inside. And what is this called, by the way? Ben pekua. Right? This is back to the halach that we learned back in Chulin. Now, you're allowed to eat the mother and you're allowed to eat the offspring as well. Does the offspring receive a shechita? And the answer is sure. It received a shechita via its mother. The mother of the shechita served for a shechita for its child as well. Okay. Also, for all that is good, the only question is as follows. What is that child? What is that fetus inside? Is it a chatas like its mother? Or is it something other than a chatas? So, tanicha de nachalas ala zichrikuna veina nachalas ala yamecha veina nachalas ala lufnim and a climb. So one brisa says, it's a chatas. And you have to eat it with all the rules of a chatas. Only male kohanim, only in the azara, and only for one day. It's a chatas. V'tanya idach nechalas v'chol adam nechalas v'chol makam nechalas olam. And the other brisa says, no, that this fetus can be eaten like regular chulin, by anybody, anywhere, anytime, meaning it's not a chatas. So my love tonight, the Tanakama Savashar and Meshuyar, Omar Savashar and Meshuyar. And again now what comes out over here is very simple. That the machlokus between Rav Yochanan and whoever argues with him in terms of whether a fetus is a dependent or an independent entity is exactly the machlokus between these two brisos. Because the brisos that says that the fetus inside is a chatas is of the opinion that Ubar Yerechimo, that the fetus is considered part and parcel of the mother. And so if mom is a chatas, so is the baby. And the position that says, no, the fetus is regular chulin, that brisa is going like the position that the fetus is an independent entity, not connected with the mother. Again, Rav Yochanan would say, no, both positions maintain like me, shairo mishuyar, that the fetus is an independent entity. Could be the machlokus is what we mentioned yesterday and a number of times throughout Shas. When does the baby get imbued with the kedusha of its mother? Meaning that baby, when born, will be kadosh. Is it that kedusha occur at birth? That's what the Gemara calls behev yasan hein, or does the kedusha happen in utero? That's called bemeiman. Okay, and that is exactly the machlokus between these two brisas. But Rav Yochanan would say that everyone ostensibly agrees with me that the fetus is an independent entity. Or the Gemara says, if you'd like, you can make the following suggestion, that the two brisas aren't even arguing with one another, but the two brisas are just simply reflecting two different cases. If, when you were makdish the animal was already pregnant, so now we're going to view them as two separate entities. The brisa that says that it's considered part and parcel is talking about when you're maktish, and after you're maktish, then it becomes pregnant. So now, as it's growing, it's going to grow whatever mom is, the baby inside is going to be as well. So maska v'la rava mimai detam d'Rav Yochanan shayim mishuyar. Okay, but let's pause over here. So once again, Rav Yochanan would like to say, and that's what I mentioned earlier, meaning even though we started today's daf with Tiyufta de Rav Yochanan Tiyufta, which seems to be that the Gemara refutes Rav Yochanan, the Gemara just goes on as if to assume Rav Yochanan is correct. The Gemara quoted a number of brises which seem to be siding against Rav Yochanan, and each time Rav Yochanan could say, look, no, my position is correct, that the fetus is not just simply a limb of the mother, the fetus is a independent entity of the mother, and it's just, and these brises are arguing about different issues, other issues. but not the issue of uber yerech imo.
The thing is, Rabbi Shmuel, in some cases we consider the uber a rodeh, in the case of abortion, etc.
Right.
So if you hold uber yerech imo, how could he be considered a
separate? Right. The Mishnah Olo says that if the uber is posing a threat to the mother, so then you can the Mishnah Olo says you can terminate the life of the uber. Mishnah Olo says you can even cut the uber up, but that the Mishnah itself doesn't say that the uber is a rodef. In fact, to machlokas for sure, why it is that you could do that, but it could be that that's contingent on this. Maskef la Rava mi mai the time of Rav Yochanan nimshar mishur yerdel mahein the time of Rav Yochanan. The Adam is kapir b'shvach cheftish. The Gemara says, can we go back to the beginning of today's discussion? Everything started with a statement by Rav Yochanan. The whole discussion of yesterday's daf, and if I can be even more brutally honest, okay, but you understand. The whole discussion started with Rav Yochanan saying that if I have a pregnant animal, and I say that this pregnant animal is going to be my chatas, and I can either use mom, or I could use a baby. And Rav Yochanan, we assume now that this is a launching point to say that the fetus is a separate entity of the mother. Okay? Which then prompted basically the rest of that discussion to occur. The Gemara now is arguing, or suggesting at least, that maybe that's not what's behind Rav Yochanan. Maybe it's a totally different concept. Notably, the Adam Miskaper B'Shvach Hekdesh, that a person can receive a kapara through Shvach Hekdesh. Now, Shvach Hekdesh literally means the improvement of Hekdesh. If there are any improvements, so the improvements basically take on the same status as what it's coming out of. Now, here, Shvach, we talk about improvements, we're talking about basically the fetus. Okay? It is a growth. It is an improvement of the animal. Eventually, it'll detach and become its own separate entity. But while inside, however, it is considered Shvach Hekdesh. And maybe the whole statement of Rav Yochanan that you could receive your kapara through the baby has nothing to do with the baby having a separate and independent status of its mother, but maybe it simply has to do with the fact that it is Shvach Hekdesh. Maybe that's it. And maybe we can then not get into the entire discussion that we had all the way from the top of the Amud. So Amalei Rav Hamnuna, Rebbe Loza, Tami de Rav Yochanan v'yasav v'kami de Rav Yochanan v'lo ahadar lehi shenuyei ve'at amar taima de Rav Yochanan mishim da'adam eskaper b'shvach hekdesh. And the Gemara basically dismisses. Meaning, no, come on. I'm telling you, Rebbe Elazar, who was a student of Rav Yochanan, who was sitting in front of Rav Yochanan, and could have very well made the suggestion, never did so, and now you want to give a new understanding of Rav Yochanan? The Gemara says, no. Now we go to the last case of the Mishnah, and the last case of the Mishnah is, let's say you declare it to be a shlamim and then you change your mind. So the Mishnah says it's too late, meaning whatever you declared it to be, it is going to be that, and it's simply too late. You can't change your mind. To which the Gemara's response is, pshita. V'ladon shlamim, el kohem is to buy memlach? The Gemara says, well, of course. Meaning once you've established something to be a particular karban, you can't change your mind. So the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you what the Chiddush of the Mishnah is. The Mishnah is that you reconsider even B'toch K'dei Dibor, and even that's not going to help you. Now, let's take a look back at the Mishnah, because this is interesting. Meaning we are now saying that you can't even change your mind, even B'toch K'dei Dibor. Really? Don't we normally say that you can change your mind, Tokh Kedei Dibur? So, if you take a look back at the Mishnah, Amar of Yosef, Yosi, Im Lachin is Kavin Tchila, Hovi, Yeshel Lekosh, Neshem is Kachet Varkayim, Vish, Mi, Misha Amar, Harez, Ushlamim, Nimlach, Vamar, Uvlada Ola. You said it is a Shlamim, meaning its entirety, the mother and its offspring. And then afterwards you say, no, I changed my mind. It's too late. And even if it's Tokh Kedei Dibur. Why? Why should that be? So the Gemara here, we have a line of Gemara. The Gemara says, Hai iyune hude kama'ayin. Now, okay. Right, the Gemara takes it out. But, and
so he's just kind of like thinking it through.
Correct. Correct. Meaning, right. What's behind Toch Kedei Dibur? So we've discussed this already a number of times in the past. The Toch Kedei Dibur is basically, you know, sometimes we say things, we don't always think out everything that we're going to say. And so, right, you find this in conversations all the time. I do this, unfortunately, too often. And that is, you say something, and then you think about it, and then you say, no, that's not what I meant. And then you go on and you try to rectify and clarify that which you said. Right. The well, yes and no. Meaning, sometimes, like even in testimony, right, you have an ability in testimony. Once you submit a testimony, that's it. There's no recanting of testimony. However, if you're within Toch Kedei Dibur of your testimony, so then you still have an ability to go back and correct something that which you said. But in general, that's the basic understanding of, well, when you said it, you're thinking about it even as you're saying it, and the halacha affords you that opportunity, as long as it's within a short time span after you say it, to go back and basically take back those words or restructure those words. Okay. However, there are certain things which are so important, so significant, the assumption is you wouldn't say it unless you've already thought it through. So, right, karbanos are a good example of that, and that's exactly what the Gemara is saying over here. That in the world of karbanos, if I'm makdish an animal, makdish is a very significant act, right? The best way to explain that or to illustrate that is that when you're makdish something, you're basically transferring ownership with just your speech, right? So it's a very significant act. The assumption whenever you're makdish is that you said it, you meant it. Right. You said it, you meant it. And so therefore, even within Toch Kedei Dibur, you don't have that ability to go back and say, oh, I changed my mind. Right? And that's exactly what the Gemara is saying. That's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. That if you made a statement by Shlomim, or by carbon in general, and now you want to go back on it, so it's too late.
Oh, sure. Are we drawing a difference between the first statement? Because Rabiosi just says the claim is common. Like, if the first statement made sense, so he looks at the mom and says, okay, mom, you're Shlomim, as opposed to saying, right, mom, you're Ola, which couldn't be.
Correct. The assumption is that if he really wanted to say both, but he just, in other words, like the Mishnah said, he can't get both of them out of his mouth at the same time, so then fine, so then we'll take both statements. But if he said Shlomim, meaning, right, because right, that's what he wanted. That was his original intent. I don't know. In other words, what are you trying to? What's bothering you? How do we know that he's changing his mind, or he's just qualifying what he's saying?
Right. So the first thing is a complete nullity.
Right. Right. Right.
And maybe I'm saying this. He draws the story. He also draws the story. He just doesn't give a short comment here. He goes on. You know, he says, "L'chein is kavin
tchila."
If we look what he,
and we have no choice but to say that because mom can't be an Ola.
Right.
Okay. We start now with the next Mishnah, with the new Mishnah. We're in the bottom of Chaf Hey Amud Beis. Harizu Tamur Sola Tamur Shlamim. So a person makes the double statement. Okay, now this is going to be more of what we've been discussing, but here. Different scenarios. Okay, the story over here is that you have three animals. And it's going to get a little bit complicated, but not that bad. You have three animals. One animal is a Nola, a second animal is a Shlamim, and the third animal is Chulin. And what do? I just simply now, I point to my Chulin animal, and I say, I'd like this to be a Temura of the Ola, and I'd like this to be a Temura of Shlamim. Okay, and why not? I'd like it to be the best of everything. I'd like it to be a little bit of Ola and a little bit of Shlamim. Okay. Now, you realize, of course, that can't be. Meaning that, you know, hybrid is a nice concept. It works in cars. Although, you know, we'll see. we'll see if it works. But hybrid doesn't work by karbanos. Meaning a karban is either an ola or it's a shlamim. And you can't create a hybrid karban of ola and shlamim. So Rav Meir says, Harei zeh tamura ola divrei Rav Meir. So Rav Meir says, it's an ola. And this is our good old Rav Meir who says, Tfos Lashon Rishon. Meaning the first thing that came out of your mouth is Temuras Ola. That's it. You're locked into Temuras Ola. And whatever you say afterwards is obviously not going to be regarded. Because what was your next statement? Harei zeh Temur Shlamim. There's no room left. Right? It is now an Ola. So this carbon now is already spoken for. My statement, my second statement, Harei zeh Temur Shlamim, just simply goes away. Okay? Flies away. Amar Rav Yossi, him lechein nischavin tchila hol v'yesh lekros beishemes ka'achas, dvar v'kayamim, v'imish amar t'mor sola nimlach v'amar t'mor shlamim, harez it t'mor sola. And Rav Yossi will say the same thing. No. No, it's both. It is going to be both a t'mor sola and a t'mor shlamim. It will be a hybrid. Now, let's understand. According to Rav Yossi, you can't offer this as a karba. That's not what Rav Yossi is saying. What it means now is that it will have, half of it will be Kedusha Sola, half of it will be Kedusha Shlamim. What you're going to have to do is let it sit, graze, develop a blemish, sell it, half of the proceeds will go towards Ola, and half the proceeds will go towards Shlamim. And then Rav Yossi makes that qualification, which he made in the previous Mishnah, which is, if I first said I wanted it to be Tamur Sola, and then subsequent to that I changed my mind, and I say, no, I didn't mean all of it Ola, I meant I wanted half of it to be an Ola and half of it to be Shlamim. It's too late. Once you made that first declaration, and once you meant that first declaration, that's it, you're locked into that first declaration. Amar Rav Yitzchak, Rav Yossi, Amar Rav Yochanan, HaKlamonim. Okay. And we're now on the top of Chavav Amad Aleph, and Rav Yochanan would say, is going to teach us that there are points on this spectrum where Rav Yossi and Rav Meir will not argue. Meaning we're going to go over extremities where they're going to totally agree. But Omer Tachlzu v'achar kach Tachlzu divrei hakol tfos lashon rishon. If I say I want there first to be a chalos of t'mor sola, follow then by a chalos of t'mor shlamim, then there's not going to be a debate. Ola has now taken over. It cannot become a shlamim. Lo tachlzu ela im kein chaltazu tarvayu kache. If I say I do not want the Kedushas Ola or the Tamuris Ola to be Chal until it also gets Tamur Shlamim, then they both agree that it has both. Because in that formulation, I'm able to basically land both Tamuras on this animal at the same time. The whole machlokus between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi of our Mishnah is in the sweet spot in the following scenario, where he says Tamur Sola, Tamur Shlamim. Remeir Savar Midahavala Lamemar Tamuris Ola Ushlamim, Vamar Tamuris Ola Tamurishlamim, Havile Kalmar Tachuzu Vachakach Tachuzu. You see, because according to Remeir, he added an extra word. He, instead of saying Tamuris Ola Vishlamim, he said Tamur Ola U Tamurishlamim. That extra word is basically tantamount to him saying first Ola, then Shlamim. And Rav Yossi Savar Ihamar Tamuris Ola Vishlamim, Hava Amina Kedusha Vena Kreva, Kamash Malan. And Rav Yossi says, no, he can't say that because if he said Ola v'shlamim, I might have thought Kedusha v'ena kreva. Meaning it has Kedusha, but only Kedusha's damim, not Kedusha's karban. It comes to teach us, he wants to say Tamur Sola, Tamur Shlamim, to teach us that it will have Kedusha's karban. Mind you, of course, that even though it has Kedusha's karban, you can't offer it. But in other words, but it does have more than just a Kedusha's damim to it. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, and really this Amud is going to be very straightforward. You're going to hear a little bit of repetition over the course of this Amud. Ha'omer behemazu chatsi t'mor ola v'chatsi t'mor shlamen. So kula tikra of ola divrei Rav Meir. Half of it will be t'mor ola, half of it will be t'mor shlamen. So once again, Rav Meir who says, just take the first thing he's saying, half of it will be t'mor ola, and of course, if half of it is t'mor ola, the Kedusha will spread to the whole thing. Now, and Rav Yossi seems to be repeating exactly what the Chachamim have just said, to which the Gemara immediately says, Rav Yossi, Hanu Rabbanan? Right? What just happened? Rav Yossi, you're reiterating the Chachamim? Kula Rav Yossi Ketani La. And so the Gemara answers very simply, no. What the Bryce is trying to tell us is the whole thing is going, that whole second half is Rav Yossi. Tanya Idach. Another Bryce, which again is basically going to illustrate the same thing. Here, however, one added feature that we get in this next Bryce is instead of Ola versus Shlamim, it's now Ola and Chatas. Okay. Half of it's an Ola and half of it's a Chatas. Kula Tikarev. Ola divra Rav Meir. And again, Rav Meir, consistent, says, take the first statement, half of it's an Ola, okay? The whole thing now has become an Ola. The fact now that he says half of it is a Chatas, it's too late, it's done already. Hold it. Rav Yossi Amar Tamus, and Rav Yossi says the animal will be left to die. Okay, because according to Rav Yossi, you have in fact invested it with Kedushas Ola and Chatas, and now this is going to be a rejected Chatas, because an animal with half Kedusha Chatas, unlike your Shlamim Ola hybrid, where there you can let it graze, develop a blemish, and redeem, once it has any Kedushas Chatas to it, even if it's only half, but you can't redeem that Kedusha, and therefore it's left to die. Vishavin, ba'omer chetzi chatas v'chetzi ola shetamos. So the Gemara says, but here's where they're going to agree. What if I point to it and say half of it is chatas, followed by then saying half of it is ola? They're going to agree that the animal has to die. Now, shavin mani, remeir, pshita ma'u detema, ilav de'ashmina ha'vamina tamid remeir, lav misham tfos lashan rishon, ela hayna tayma chatas murevis kreva. Okay? And the reason is because according to Rameir, Tfos Lashon Rishon. Now let me ask you a simple question. Okay. Again, let's go over this last scenario. I said half of it is a chatas and half of it is an ola. Now Rav Yossi, you totally understand. You have now created a hybrid carbon where half is a chatas and half is an ola. It's over. You can't offer it because half of it is an ola. You can't redeem it because half of it is a chatas, so the animal must just simply expire. You have to let the animal die. But let's understand Rav Meir, because Rav Meir is difficult to understand. Rav Meir says that if I say half of it is a chatas, follow then by saying, and half of it is an ola, so Rav Meir, according to the Gemara, agrees, and the animal has to be left to die. Why? Right? If according to Rav Meir, you're tfos lashon rishon, you take the first thing that he says and you go with it. So the first thing that he says is half of it is a chatas, which then should mean that the kedusha should then just simply go to the other half. And so therefore what you're left with at the end of the day is a carbon chatas. And why not offer it then on the Mizbeach? And why does the Gemara say that? In this case, Rameir would agree that this animal needs to die. Rashi has a very simple solution. Although it's not in the Gemara, the answer to this question is not contained in the Gemara, but Rashi has a simple solution. Rashi says that the case in question over here is talking about where you're not obligated to bring a carbon chatas. Okay, so yeah, the difficulty. Yeah, the difficulty with Rashi is that if you're not obligated to bring a carbon chatas, so then why should your statement have any bearing to it whatsoever? Right. Okay, so it's difficult, and not only is it difficult, you see the second to last Tosfos? So he objects to this explanation of Rashi that I just laid out for you. Okay, so you'll see Tosfos inside. Tosfos offers a different pshat anyway, but okay, just realize that there is an issue with the way Rashi explains the Gemara. Tanya Idach, let's do this one more time today. Amar behemazu chetzi ola v'chetzi shlamin. Kedusha v'ena kreva, v'ose t'mura, u'temuraso kayotze bo. The Braisa says, I point to an animal and I say, half of it is an ola, and half of it's a shlamin. It has kedusha saguf. You can't offer it because, right? You can't offer a hybrid. And if you would like, it can result in a tamura, because it does have kedusha saguf, and whatever animal you've tamured it with, right, will have the same kedusha as this animal. So far, so good. Who is the author of this braisa? Mani Rabbi Yossi. So the author of this braisa is Rabbi Yossi. Pshita. De kedusha veina kreva, tamurasa. I'm sorry. De kedusha veina kreva. Now the Gemara says, don't we know this already? Because had the author of this braisa been Rav Meir, what would have been? Tfos lashon rishon. You just go with the first thing that he says. The first thing that he says is that it's an ola. Well, if he says it's an ola, even if he says half of it is an ola, the whole thing becomes an ola. So clearly, this is Rav Yossi. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the Chiddush is. Tamurasa itzterech le damau detema nihi dihilo kreva tamurasa tikarev. The Gemara over here makes a suggestion an interesting suggestion, a strange suggestion, which is, look, I know I can't offer this animal as a carbon, because half of it's an olah and half of it's a shlamin. That I understand. But if I affected a tamura with another animal, maybe, suggests the Gemara, I could bring the tamura as a carbon. What? What? In other words, and kamash malan, kamash malan. And that's the chiddush. The chiddush is you can't. Now, once again, I point to Rashi and I point also to Tosfos, and it's difficult to understand the havamina the Gemara just suggested. Well, the original animal you can't bring as a carbon because it's half ola, half shlamin. But if I affect a tamura with it, oh, maybe the tamura I can offer as a carbon.
Right.
Right, and the tamura you can. And if you take a look at the last Tosfos on this page, Tosfos over here is bothered by, meaning it is a havamina, and the Gemara ends up rejecting it. But behind every havamina is something smart, right? When the Gemara proposes a havamina, it's more than just, I would have thought, but ah. In other words, there's something behind that. The im tamar, if you see Tosfos, heichi salkadach alamar kein dechashuv tamur tfei miyaida asa machmate. How can a tamura be any better than the original? And how can the Gemara even suggest, although it's a suggestion, but how can he even suggest that the tamura animal could be offered as a carbon even though the original cannot? And Tosfos goes on to answer and take a look inside. But I'm just, you know, obviously, like we're going to go on in the Gemara, but it is difficult. Just the suggestion of the Gemara is very difficult. And the Gemara just simply says, well, no. If I can't offer the original, I cannot offer the Tamura as well. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Okay. I think this is the last case. Yes, it is. I have an animal owned by two partners. And those two partners now, obviously each one owns a 50% share of the animal. And one partner says, I'd like to be matish my share, my shares of the animal, my 50% share. Okay, fine. And then what he does is he goes over to his partner and he says, look, I'd like to bring this animal as a carbon, but here's my problem. I was matish my percentages of the animal, which is 50%, but I can't offer it as a carbon because 50% of it is yours. I'd like to buy your shares, and then after buying your shares, I will then be makdish then the second 50%, and then I'll offer it as a carbon. Yay or nay? Does that work?
No.
No. So Rav Yochanan says it does not work. Okay, interesting. It will have Kedusha. It cannot be offered as a carbon. It can affect Tamura, and the Tamura is whatever that animal was. Meaning the Tamura Kedusha will be exactly as its original. Shema Minat Tlas. Now there are three takeaway points from this halacha. Now, Shema Minat Kedusha Damim Nidche. Now, first of all, takeaway point number one. This is interesting. When he was Makdish his first 50%, what kind of Kedusha was it invested with? Kedusha Saguf or Kedusha Damim?
Has to be
Damim. Has to be. Because Kedusha Saguf means that this animal will be brought on the Mizbeach. It can't be. Because I only own 50% originally. So when I was Makdish my first 50%, that is Kedusha Damim. Okay. And Kedusha Damim is Nidcha. That means now that it basically takes that first 50% and rejects it vis-a-vis the Mizbeach. Meaning when I gave that initial investment Kedusha to the first 50%, my 50%, I only gave it Kedusha's Damim. And because of that, it is now forever rejected from the Mizbeach. Shema Mina, Kedusha's Damim, Shema Mina, Balei Chaim Nidachim, which takes us to point number two. The animal is a live animal. Can live animals get rejected from the Mizbeach? Machlokes. But right now we're learning Rav Yochanan. And Rav Yochanan's of the opinion, yes, it can get rejected. And finally, point number three, Ushma mina dichwi mikara, havi dichwi. Now there's another classic machlokes. Rashi reminds us, the third parak of Sukkah is where we see it, where something was primarily rejected versus where it was fit, rejected, and then fit again. This is what's called Dichui Meikara versus Nira V'Nidche V'Chozer V'Nira. So here, Dichui Meikara, meaning it was originally rejected. When I was first being matched my first 50%, at that point in time, I couldn't offer it as a carbon. And even though now I own that second 50%, I purchase that second 50%, it's too late. Okay. And so these are three takeaway points from this halacha of Rav Yochanan. Amar Abai. Hakol modim hechad amar chesia ola v'chesia meister. Divrei hakol ola kreva. Okay. If I say half of it's an ola and half of it's meister. Now, you understand the second statement? Meister behema. Now, am I counting or am I not counting right now? So Rashi tells us we're not counting right now. So if we're not counting right now, the second statement I made was a worthless statement. A nonsense statement. Because Meister Behema will only have Kedusha if I'm in the process of counting. Fine. So, right. So because I'm not counting, therefore it doesn't count. Okay. So the whole thing becomes an Ola. But what if I say half of it's a tamur and half of it's a meiser? Okay. To my tamur kreva shekeinu eges b'chol hakadoshim, odoma meiser kreva shekein makdish lefanav ula acharav. On one hand, tamur applies to all karbanos. On the other hand, meiser is so significant it can affect the animal before, number 9, and can affect the animal afterwards, number 11, as we've discussed many times. And the Gemara says, take, and the Gemara says, we'll leave this question unresolved. And if you think about it, and again, I point to Tosfos one more time today, it's difficult to understand what's going on right now in the Gemara. Because if I'm not counting, and I'm calling the animal Meiser Behema, what just happened? I'm not saying anything. And why is the Gemara perplexed? And the Gemara is saying, well, I'm not sure. Maybe it's Meiser Behema, or maybe it's Tamura. If I'm not in the process of counting, what am I saying when I say maybe right, this animal is Meiser Behema? So this is exactly Tosfos' question. Tosfos does not understand Rashi's explanation. I laid out for you Rashi's explanation. But Tosfos says, I just don't understand. If you're not counting it right now, so then what's behind your statement? So you'll see Tosfos inside again. I gave you a lot of homework today. I point you once again to Tosfos. Tosfos gives a totally different pshat in the Gemara, one in which it is, Tosfos just basically says, we are talking about a case where you are actually in the process of counting. Okay, let's go on the Mishnah. Hari zu tachas zu.
What happened with the Mishnah that goes with Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yosi?
The halacha always is going to go like Rav Yosi. Rav Yosi over Rav Meir.
Both take effect.
And both of them will take effect, and the animal will now have that hybrid kedusha where it can't be offered as a carbon, but you're going to have to let it graze develop a blemish, and then proceeds are going to be divided half ola, half shlamin. Hare zu tachat zu tamura zu chalifa zu hare zu tamura. And now we continue now with the Mishnah, and we're going to go well back into the world of tamura, and now we're going to hit some very basic issues. I mentioned this already from day one of tamura. And here, this is now, we're going to see the Mishnah inside, really present to us very straightforward. Tamura, first of all, is an Isra in the Torah. Tamura is an exchange, kind of. Meaning, Tamura basically says like this. This animal has Kedusha. I want this animal to draw from the Kedusha of this animal. That's Tamura. What languages speak to Tamura? Harizu tachazu, chamurazu, chalifazu. So all those are languages of tamura. Harizu tamura. Zu michu lalasazu ainza tamura. But what if I do the following? What if I'm not trying to make an exchange, but I'm just trying to deconsecrate? Meaning, my original animal now is a blemished animal. It has kedushas aguf, and when I sanctified it, it was a non-blemished animal, and then it develops a blemish. And now, with this first animal right here in play, I now have another animal, and I'd like to not exchange, not tamura, but just simply switch. Or, let me use a better English term, deconsecrate. All I'd like to do now is take the Kedusha from this animal, and I can't bring this animal anymore because this animal is a Baal Mum. And I would like to now take the Kedusha from this animal to this animal.
Yeah, that's the recommended thing to do, no?
And not only that, that's really what you should be doing.
Right.
Correct. Correct, now that this animal is a Baal Mum. And I use the term, I'm very careful about the term I use the term Mechulelas. Mechulelas means to deconsecrate. Now, not only is it not an Isser, it's a good thing that you did. And in fact, the Kedusha actually moves from A to B. Okay. And the Mishnah goes on to say, Ein zeh tumura v'im haya hikdash baal mum yotze l'chulin v'tzarech lasos damim. The animal which was a baal mum actually now goes l'chulin. Okay. Now, in other words, this would normally would happen. Normally, meaning what the Mishnah here is describing, is that normally I'd be transferring it over to money. But over here, all I did was I just took a shortcut. Instead of transferring over the Kedusha to money and then using that money to buy another animal, all I did is I just bypassed the step of the money. I just simply took the Kedusha from the Baal Mum and I moved it straight to another animal.
If good. It's a blemished animal, it's okay to do.
Yeah. Lamema, now, the Gemara, we'll just do a little bit of Gemara today, and then we'll stop. Lamema de tachas lishna da tfusehu viriminu. Now, just, the Gemara is going to focus on that word tachas, meaning, so far everything in the Mishnah is pretty straightforward, it's just tachas. So, kashi bedekabayis amar khalifa zu timur zu lo amar klom. Tachas zu mechulal al zu divarv kayamen. In fact, you see that the word tachas is not a timur language, but you see it's rather a deconsecration language. How do I see that? Because it works by bedek habayis. Isa kedach lishna tefusei hu maishna reisha maishna seifa. Amar habayis tachas mishkach ala lishna de tefusei velishna de achule. Tachas is ambiguous. It can go either way. Lishna de tefusei dechsev, and the Gemara says, and I'll show you. V'im tachteha tamod habaheres. I know we're talking about saras over here, but we see the word tachteha is used. If the Bahara stands in its place, you have tsaras, whatever we call leprosy, only because we don't know. But you have a spot on your body, and the Torah says im tachteha tamura baharis. If it stays put, so you see the word tachas is not over there. It's not used in terms of an exchange, but it's used in terms of it's there. Or dachuli dechsev tachas and nechoshes avizahav. Mark quotes the pasuk in Yeshayahu, where there it's clearly used as a language of exchange. So in other words, tachas can go either way. It's either tamur language, or it's chilul, the consecration language. So hilkach. Gabi kachim izbech davin tamura alishan da tfusehu. Gabi kachim bedek abayis alo avin tamura alishan da chulehu. So the Gemara says basically, yeah. And so it all depends now what the context is. If the context is going to be carbon, so then we're going to assume tamura. If the context is going to be bedek abayis, so then we're going to assume chilul. Okay. Amar Rava. Okay. Let's pause over here. Okay. So we'll stop over here, and tomorrow we'll continue. Okay. Today's daf is daf Chaf Zayin, and okay, we made it. We made it to today's daf. That's good. All right. We're on our way back. The learning we do this morning is for should be for Refuah Shlema for Rafal Zakai Avraham ben Yakira Avigail.